Hello, welcome to episode 32 of Three Peeps in a Podcast. With me, as always, is Rich. Say hello, Rich.
Happy dining.
And I didn't introduce myself, actually. This is Patch. With us, we've got a very special guest, a friend of the show, Andy McEwen. Say hello, Andy.
Evening.
And Andy is here to talk about Downing Cricket Club, talk a bit about the history and why they need support and funding. So we'll get onto that in a minute. But first of all, we are recording, on location at the Sandringham Pub in Downend. Is it Downend? It's fishy. Downend or Bromley Heath?
I would say Downend, isn't it?
Okay, yeah, so it is Downend, that's confirmed.
Downend special tonight.
Part of our partnership with the magazine Each Drink and the Rest, we've been asked to come along and review some of the food and the ambiance in the general pub itself. So far, so good, Rich, would you say?
It looks quite a nice, clean pub, nice decor, modern, I'd say. Yeah. Modern ambiance.
Some nice dining areas as well, set off to the side.
Quite steady, busy for a Tuesday night.
Yeah, Tuesday night, and car park's full, the bar is busy.
Well, I will say, the car park is full, but it's very spacious, so yeah. There is ample parking, I would say.
For 4x4s.
Correct.
And were you happy with the selection of ciders, Rich? That's usually your sort of...
Yeah, usually I go for Thatcher's Gold, but they've got Thatcher's Rascal on tap as well, so I've gone for that one tonight. Which is nice.
Okay, just having a sip.
The Error ciders are available, but stick to the Thatchers if I was you.
Just be safe. What was the other one I saw up there? Was it Rosie or something? Something Rosie?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Rosie cider or something. Old Rosie. There you go.
That's for the ladies.
Is it?
Probably.
It's not rosé wine. I think that's a cider.
I don't know. I can't see from here.
Oh, get out there. Get your binoculars out. Okay, so yeah, we are at the Sundry Room, so we've ordered, we'll just go through what we've ordered. So I've gone for the slow-cooked lamb shank at a very reasonable £11.29.
Is that Cockney rhyming slang? Lamb shank?
For what?
Bank.
Don't be rude. Don't be coarse.
What, money bank? Transfer.
Bank, I was going to say.
Yeah, have you sent me that lamb shank yet? Andy, you've gone for, what did you go for?
The Hunter's Chicken.
Okay, and that's under the Pub Classics. Line. So the menu's nicely split into sharers, flatbreads, burgers, pub classics, char grill, and fish. So
you're Rich, missing, and pastas, noodles, and salads.
I didn't see that. It was blocked by your pint glass. So you've gone for Rich.
I've gone for the teriyaki salmon, which is dressed on egg noodles with shredded crisp vegetables, coriander, and spring onion.
Okay,
that's quite a healthy choice, I'd say.
Yeah, no, good. So we've just ordered that at the bar. So we'll. Obviously, hopefully be breaking to eat that shortly. And very nice of the Sandringham to lay that on for us tonight. So thanks very much. Okay.
Perks of the job.
Yeah, that's why we do it. No, it's not.
But mainly.
Main. So, yeah, just a couple of things. Obviously, like and share if you enjoy this podcast. Follow us on Twitter at 3PIAPC. On Facebook, Three Peeps in a Podcast, and
if anybody comes to Sandringham, can they mention we haven't negotiated anything?
We haven't currently not negotiated a discount for listeners, but before we leave the pub, I expect we probably will.
So come along to the Sandringham in Downend, and
officially Downend.
So you heard it here.
So a couple of updates. Rich and I, this is an exclusive. Rich and I will be live on Sky TV. On October the 6th, on Justin Lee Collins' new football fan show called Fan TV.
What channels can they find it on, Patch?
I don't know.
I think it's Sky 221.
Is it? Or 212?
One of them.
We'll put it on
one of those combinations.
The Facebook page.
Freeview, YouTube and Facebook, yeah. Not on Virgin.
So we'll be streaming live, and that'll be a first for us, being on TV.
Literally live on telly.
And being live. I hope they've got their bleep filter ready for you.
How far we've came. In a year and a bit.
Or come. Are you spilling that? So future guests as well. We've got an agreement in place with Lee Haskins, bantamweight champion of the world, to come on the podcast. So we're looking forward to that. And I'll be roping in our boxing correspondent, Dan Welch of Bitten, to come along and help us with that interview, as he was a schoolboy boxing champion. That qualifies him, I think.
That's proven by a photo.
Yeah. We'll put that photo up on the Facebook page. Let's just check that it is still recording. Yeah, perfect. And also, who else? Oh, Lewis Carey of Bristol City fame.
A record appearance holder.
Yeah, he'll be coming on soon, so stay tuned to that. And quite looking forward to also a Halloween special. I've put a shout out on Facebook tonight for people to give us suggestions of where we can go and actually perform a ghost hunt with the Bristol Paranormal Society. So
if
really looking forward to
you. If you're thinking somewhere like dark, cold, like soulless, kind of empty, I think the Rovers Ground is available on that night, isn't it?
Oh, there we are. Anti-Rovers joke. No one's here to defend them.
Well, no one's here. No one's there either.
So I think that's it. I actually made an approach to Tony Robinson of Baldrick Bristol City fame.
Can you imagine that?
And who else? He did that Ground Force.
Ground Force, yeah.
Not Ground Force. What was it called?
Not Ground Force.
Time Team. Ground Force. Yeah. That was Charlie Dimmock, wasn't it? So, he's just made friends with Lee Johnson on Twitter. So I thought if he's friends with Lee Johnson, why not be friends with us?
So goes hand in hand.
Get him on there. Anyway, so that's future guests. Any other ideas of people, give us a shout or set it up for us, even better.
If you know anybody famous and they want to come on the podcast.
Or local personalities like Andy McEwen in front of us.
Yeah. People of interest.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with what we've been up to. And I've got a couple of things I'm just going to run through. Rich, if that's all right?
Should I do mine quickly? Because I ain't got many. Seems
go on then.
Our last podcast was literally 4 days ago.
Yeah, but we didn't do what we've been up to on that podcast.
Oh, do we?
Which is one of the things of what we've been up to.
All right,
do you want to tell us about what we did a couple of weeks ago? Last Thursday?
Last Thursday we interviewed local weatherman and TV presenter of different programmes, Alex Beresford. Lovely chap. Tune in. That was episode 31, wasn't it, Patch? Recorded at ITV Studios on Bath Road. Literally me and Patch were sat in the studio where they do the news from. Lovely chap, down to earth, some great stories. So if you haven't listened, do listen. And
only a 41 minute podcast, so
yeah,
I think you can all
sweet.
Spare 41 minutes to listen to that.
And I went to the City Derby game. That's literally what I've done, basically.
Was it?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Played football, but it's not really.
A couple of things I've been up to. So I was going to do the Alex Beresford thing, but you've done that already, that's fine. I experienced couscous for the first time.
Oh, that's lovely.
First time?
I have that every day for lunch.
I've avoided it because I didn't like the way it looked. And it was couscous, which in a pot that you put boiling hot water in, mix it round, put the plastic lid back on.
That
five
makes
minutes.
It really. Long as the couscous is submerged in hot water.
It is lazy man's rice.
I was just following the instructions. But on top, it was a pot, but on top of the pot was tuna. Top of the pot. Probably what they should have called it. Maybe right.
Oh, copyright. That's copyrighted.
On top of it was a pot of tuna, but the tuna was infused with garlic and chilli. You put that in and you mix it up with the couscous, and it was absolutely fantastic.
It's funny, because I think months ago I told you about my health regime, like a glass of hot water with lemon to start the day, and pipe of water to get your organs going.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned I have couscous, tuna and sweet corn practically every day.
Okay.
With red kidney beans.
Maybe I should have listened.
You should have.
So that was that. When I went to I got family over.
How did you eat your tuna?
What do you mean?
Tuna fork?
Yeah, I did with the fork, yeah. Oh, tuna fork, right. Yeah. Yeah. Plenty more where that came from. I got cousins over from the States, so I took them to we went to Bath. Heard in Bath Abbey at night and all that sort of stuff, all the usual scenes. And I thought I'd take them to Jamie Oliver's in Bath. When I say take them, I didn't pay. So obviously just get that cleared up.
You drove them there.
Well, I didn't even do that. Just met them.
You
there.
Showed them where it was.
thinking, oh, they'll know who Jamie Oliver is. Never heard of him before in Italy.
Don't matter it.
Yeah. That's Jamie Oliver impression from Rich. Anyway, so yeah, Jamie's Italian.
How was your
time? Nelson Place.
How was your experience that? Because I've been there once and it was really bad.
Well, if you let me finish,
I'll
go on to tell. Right, okay. You interviewing me now?
It's like a link, isn't it?
Okay, go on, tell me.
Patch, what did you think of your experience at Jamie Oliver's Italian on Milson Street in Bath?
So
with your cousins?
It was, the food I had was nice. It was like a ravioli meat-based goods. Just remember, we are live in a pub, so there will be some background noise. So the food I had was very nice. It was a little long in coming, food. And there was an incident where one of my cousins asked for an elderflower drink, and the first request went in, and the fourth request then went in. So they asked four times.
Like two and three.
With two and three in between, yeah. And it took an hour to bring an elderflower. So the
were they trying to source it from the park?
Maybe that was the excuse, but yeah, the service wasn't great. They weren't wailing about the food. They weren't overly impressed, and it isn't cheap either.
No.
So just be careful what you order, I think is the message.
Well, we went. Well, you say that. When we went there a few Christmases ago, they had no potatoes. If you think, mate, a lot of meals come with potatoes, be it chipped, mashed, boiled, roasted, yeah. Sautéed.
Dauphin moi.
They had no potatoes whatsoever. And they said, oh, we've been busy. You need to, you know how busy you're going to be over yeah. a Christmas period or any period, really. You can't run out of food unless it's a special that just in for that day.
Okay.
But you can't run out of potatoes, surely.
Yeah.
So you had half price.
You had a half price? Nice. Okay.
Well, it's nice, but...
So I did tweet Jamie's Italian, and I bet Jamie Oliver doesn't... Well,
he's
care, but
just had his fifth kid, hasn't he? So
it's people,
right?
He's got his hands full.
Yeah, it's people, right? So yeah, Jamie's Italian. I'm just gonna say I enjoyed my food, and we'll leave it at that.
Selfish.
And finally, after my trip to California, I went back to the gym last week, which was a tough challenge because my gym, where I work, you've got to walk through the canteen past the pizza, burger, and chips to get to it. So the first time I tried, I stopped and I ate. And then didn't go to the gym. And then the next time I actually went to the gym and, yeah, trying to get back into it now. So
it's funny because my gym's the same as yours, which is also in-house where I work. Yeah. And my bag has been by my desk for probably 3 weeks.
Not used.
Literally untouched.
Second time round, did you eat on the way out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did actually. Okay, so that's what we've been up to. Anything else, Rich?
No, I haven't done much.
Okay, all right.
Trimmed some hedges.
You trimmed your bush?
Trimmed Kirsten's front bush.
Right, excellent. Okay, good. Right, so as I said, we are joined by Andy McEwen of Down End Cricket Club. And Andy, you're just going to talk us a bit through Down End Cricket Club and some of the ways that you're trying to raise funds, why you're trying to raise funds and that sort of thing. So I'll hand the baton over to you.
Okay.
Bowl us over.
Plenty of them to come, Rich.
Six more?
Yeah.
Right, just a little bit of a brief background on Down End, really. We play in what's called the Western League Premier Division, which is the kind of top standard of amateur cricket in this part of the country. So the next step up is professional cricket, basically. So every team within our league is allocated two pros, be it from Somerset or Gloucestershire, depending on their kind of catchment area. So it is a very, very good standard of cricket. And Down End is actually one of only two teams from Bristol in that league, the other being Bristol Cricket Club. And to enable us to stay in that league, we have to get to a certain standard where it comes to playing surface, the actual facilities at the ground, the changing rooms are even marked, so on and so forth. So we are kind of currently looking at a few phases of one being survival, which is currently where we are, and the other one being development. And we've been pretty active in kind of introducing different ways of raising funds. But I'll get onto that in a sec, really. I mean, Down End does have a very rich history. This is not a run-on from that statement. Played there for 20 years. That's rich enough. I've played there for 20 years and I've seen quite a bit of changes. And there's a massive gulf in the standard, not necessarily the standard of the cricket played, because there's always been a decent standard of cricket in that league. But the standards kind of required by each individual team when it comes to, you know, the standard of the pitches, the umpiring, so on and so forth. I mean, plenty of people do know, but not everybody follows cricket. So, you know, some of the players that have played at Down End, the biggest being W.G. Grace, who's kind of referred to as the kind of daddy of English cricket.
And when was that? What year was that?
Well, now you're putting me
on the spot.
This
is the start of the quiz.
Well,
roughly.
Is it? We're talking
1800s, isn't it?
1800s?
We're talking 100, yeah, within the 100s, so 100,
so the cricket pitch has been there for hundreds of years, essentially.
Yeah, W.G. Grace didn't actually play at Downend, but he was born in a house which is basically right on the boundary of the cricket club, and his family members played there. He played on the ground representing Gloucestershire, believe it or not.
So he played there?
Yeah, he played there. Yeah, just didn't necessarily...
That's enough for me.
Yeah.
He's graced... the pitch.
Nice.
Well, the ground's actually called the W.G. Grace Ground, the W.G. Grace Pavilion, so there you go. But yeah, I mean, apart from him, there's been plenty of other pros over the years that have played.
You also have the Lashings, which is a collection of sort of world cricket players, isn't it? And that happens every year. Is that in threat as well?
Not in threat as such, no. That's something that it is a good fundraiser for the club. It's not fantastic because obviously we have to pay over and above basically for the whole setup of the event. But it is a decent fundraiser for us. We do get a certain amount of money at the end of it, but it's nothing that's going to kind of break the bank, so to speak. But yeah, it's basically a collection of current and ex-international professionals who make up a team. They come along to the cricket ground. They actually do a world tour, but they stop off at Downend along the way.
Nice.
And yeah, it's a fantastic day. So,
it's probably that heritage of Downend Cricket Club that attracts them, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also to do with the standards that we manage to upkeep, because they're not likely to be turning up for somebody playing on Eastfield Park Pitch G, for example. But yeah, so that's one of the events of which Downend looks to raise funds with every year.
So essentially, obviously, the fundraising that you're looking to do, the advertising and the things you've got, which you're going to go on and tell us a bit about now, that's to get you to that next level.
Well, it's to assist us in surviving in the top division as we are currently, and then also it's basically going to help us with the development of the club and development of the youth club that's there as well, because we're looking basically for the future. We want to have many teams for boys, girls, going all the way up to senior teams, and currently the way the ground is and the shape of which the changing rooms and so forth are in, that's kind of not really feasible as we stand. So that's one of one of the things we're looking to raise money for. Something we actually launched this year was the Downend Lottery, and it's been relatively successful, but we are still way off at where our target was at the beginning of the year. We've seen kind of steady growth, but month on month. But we're always looking for people to actually sign up for it, and it's actually a very, very good return. It's £5 entry per lottery ball. And the cash prize is every month, so it's done on the last Saturday of every month. They actually total £400.
That's good.
With the winner getting 250, the person coming second getting 100, and the person coming third getting £50.
Okay, and obviously the question is, how do people get a lottery ticket?
Well, if you go onto the Downend Cricket Club website, which is downendcricketclub.co.uk, there are details on the news section of that website where you can get details as to how to enter. Otherwise, if you're passing the cricket club, if you know where it is, there's plenty of forms in the club, and you literally just fill out a direct debit form, and it takes that £5 from your bank account every month, and you don't even notice it really per se.
And you're helping the club as well, so.
Absolutely, it's not just the club, but it's also for the local area. Because Downend was under threat a few years ago of actually selling the ground and moving. We got offered a substantial amount of money by a building developer to buy the ground. We took it to an AGM. We had plenty of those over the 2-3 year period that it dragged out on. And we eventually came to the decision that we weren't going to sell the ground. We were going to stay at the ground, and we were going to do as much as we could to increase the sponsorship and the money basically coming into the club from external sources.
Just your background, that obviously people might not have seen it, but it is a lovely, quaint British looking, well, English looking. Got the overlooking church.
It's a fantastic ground.
Yeah, in like in the middle of a park. It is literally the ground is the cricket pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. So
nice, you get some pitches that are just in the middle of a park that might be a foot pitch in the winter, which changes to a cricket pitch in the summer. But down in literally is.
Oh yeah, it's 100% dedicated to cricket, and that's one thing. Actually, going back to the lashings, that the players say they always comment on how good the ground is and how much they love coming there.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got the Down End Lottery. Any other ways that you're trying to raise funds?
Well, we offer advertising to local businesses, and
is that
we
like around the pitch, or
well, we have a number of banners where we put the names, logos of the companies up. But we're always actively seeking to encourage more businesses to do so, and also they get exposure on the website as well. And on the website, in the actual sponsors section, you can preview all the sponsors of the club, and there's a live link to each individual sponsor's website, which obviously increases footfall to all those businesses.
Okay. All right. Well, so we're just going to take a break there because our food has arrived, and we'll come back to hear a little bit more, maybe about Down End Cricket Club. We're going to look at some of the events that are coming up. And for now, we'll take a break because the food's arrived, as I said. So the lamb shank's looking very nice. Rich, what do you think of the look of your teriyaki salmon?
Well, I can only see a lemon, so for a second.
All it is a lemon on a pile of noodles.
It should be beautiful.
And Hunter chicken, I must say, presentation looks good. Okay, so we'll come back shortly. Thanks very much.
Three peeps in the podcast.
First report, the lamb shank was very, very nice. Fell off the bone, literally. Taste was brilliant. And the accompaniments were certainly up there. I particularly liked the rich chorizo and tomato sauce that it came with, which was a stroke of genius. And bear in mind, £11.29, I think for a good, decent-sized, nice lamb shank.
People think of Wetherspoons as being cheap. It was £10 and the Wetherspoons.
Yeah. Yeah, so great price. Very much enjoyed it. Rich, how was your teriyaki salmon?
The salmon was beautiful. Quite thick, actually. I know salmons aren't thin, but a good portion. Yep. On a lovely taste, some noodles with spring onion and some salt on it. So
okay. Happy with that?
Very happy. Very happy.
And Andy, the pub classic Hunter's chicken.
Yeah, it was good. Cooked really nicely, actually. Chicken was really nice and soft, and not too oily, because obviously the cheese and the bacon packed on top normally makes it quite oily. But no, it was really, really nice.
And the onion rings?
Always a hit.
Always a hit.
Yeah.
Heard it here first. So yeah, highly recommend. Quite an extensive menu. Quite a lot of choice for if you've got fussy friends or family. And is this Pete?
Pete's arrived.
Pete's arrived, who is the landlord of the Sandringham. Pete, we've ordered and we've reviewed the food, and everyone was very happy. So I don't know if Pete, whilst you're here, have you got anything sort of coming up that you want to give a shout out to?
We've got Family Fun Day on Sunday. It's for Click Sergeant. We've got one of the regulars. Their little baby had cancer, So we're doing a fundraiser for her and the local hospital. Most of the school are coming. There's bouncy castles and different games and funfair stuff. And
in the car park, presumably, not indoors?
In the car park. We've got a very large car park, and it will be full of all stuff kids-related.
Okay.
We've got a barbecue and live music.
Excellent. Sounds great.
So when's that? Sunday
the
26th?
Yeah. Sunday the 26th. Okay. We'll put a few details about that up on our Facebook page as well.
But yeah, no, thanks very much, Pete, for your hospitality.
That's all right.
No worries. And yeah, we'll carry on with the podcast. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Pete. Food was great. Compliments to the chef.
So that was the food.
Compliments to the microwave.
And now we're going to go back to Andy, who's going to tell us a little bit about what's coming up in the next few months with Daily Cricket Club. And years, in fact.
It's a long-term project.
It is a long-term project. And also, to touch on again how you can raise some money for the cricket club.
Cheers, Patch. Right, the one of the major things we've got coming in next year, we've got the Lashings coming again. Keep your eye out for the dates and details for that. It'll be on the website. But we have a beer festival.
That's something we bloody love.
Yeah. It'll be a beer and cider festival coming up in September of next year. Now, discussions are at an early stage, but it's something that we definitely need to happen, as it could be a major kind of money spinner for us, and just something else, once again, to raise exposure of the club, especially with the kind of locals and surrounding areas. And once again, it's kind of imperative for our survival, really, in this phase that we're looking to move into. Looking further ahead than that, however, 2018 is our 125th anniversary, and there's going to be plenty going on that year. There has been a separate subcommittee set up to basically manage all of the events that are going to be going on that year, and one of the major events that's going to be happening is we have what's called the PCA Masters at the ground, which is going to be very similar to a kind of Lashings setup, and it's going to be put on courtesy of our major sponsor, which is Green King, and they are going to basically help us to bring the event to life, really, to the ground. And the PCA will offer coaching to all the young players, and they're going to be signing autographs, and there's going to be a full-on game going on throughout the day, and they're basically generally going to mix with the general public. So it's going to be a day kind of full of fun and activities for all. Very much going to be a kind of family environment, but some of the players that are going to be playing in that are going to be current England players, so it's going to be quite a kind of high standard of representation for that team.
And will that be playing against down in Cricket Club?
Yes, it
like
will
it
be.
Like the Lashings tournament?
It'll be similar to Lashings, yeah. We'll have a kind of select down end team, but obviously to mix it with the big boys, we have to kind of push to get our best players playing, but it'll be open to kind of all the members of the club, really, to make themselves available.
You mentioned the kids then. You've got your team down then.
Yeah.
First team, I assume.
Yeah.
How many other teams are there? Are the teams at different ages as well?
The training actually starts at under fives.
Okay.
And there's a summer coaching school which has just finished. And under fives, they train on it every Friday between 5 and 7, I believe. Don't quote me on that.
I'm going to come along.
Yeah. and that's open for both boys and girls as well. So that's basically the entrance level for age range for kids, and it goes all the way up through. So we have an under-11s team, we have under-13s, 15s, 17s, okay. And even an under-19s
team. And do they all play on that pitch as well then? Or is it a smaller pitch somewhere else?
They do actually play at Downend. We have four senior teams, and the fourth team don't actually play, and the third team even, they don't actually play at Downend, because we basically just don't have
fixture classes.
Yeah,
well,
fixture classes, and also the ground. I mean, some teams have the ability to put two games on because they have two pitches across a huge field, but ours is obviously we don't have that luxury.
Okay, cool. So we've spoken a bit about the history, what you've got coming up. Anything you want to just wrap up with? How people can follow Downend? Obviously, you've told me you've got the website. Is there anything about that, or do you want to just mention the website again?
It's just basically getting back to the fact of Downend are being are kind of very much in need of help, financial help more than anything else. And I've spoken about kind of the advertising and the potential for local businesses. We have individual player sponsorships as well, which the money goes towards helping the players play throughout the year and pay for their match fees throughout the year. And then also the excess money goes towards helping the club. And there's all details on how to do that. Once again, if you go to the Down End website, there's a whole sponsorship section where you can see the outline of how every company is profiled, basically.
I guess that helps you attract the better players as well, doesn't it? Having that sort of sponsorship and
absolutely, yeah. And for us to continue to grow as we do, it's really important that we stay in the top league. And the more finance we have coming into the club means we can actually improve the changing rooms, we can improve the clubhouse, and that all comes hand in hand with basically making the club a little bit more successful. And also it helps the club stay in Down End where it actually belongs, because if we continue to not have the financial input that's required, then it will come to a point where we will cease to exist at that ground. So it is very important.
Okay, thanks so much for that.
It would be a tragedy if they started building places on.
It would definitely be. So thanks very much for that, Andy. And we'll put some more details up on our Facebook page. We can get you in touch with Andy and the Down End Cricket Club. So, yeah, let's get behind the calls and support your local cricket club.
You can also follow Down End Cricket Club on Facebook as well. There is a Facebook page dedicated to Down End Cricket Club.
Excellent. Cool. All right, thanks very much, Andy. So we'll get on with some of our usual segments now, first of which being Room of Doom. I won't bother inserting the jingle. Let's just keep it on the fly. So, Rich, have you got something lined up for us?
Yeah, my Room of Doom is... ass lickers, really. Probably mainly work-based ass lickers. We all got bosses.
Can we call them teacher's pet?
We can do, but ass lickers. But we've all got bosses. I'm not sure the boss, but we all kind of want to get on in the world. But I'm not very good at ass licking. I can't just laugh at anyone's joke for the sake of it and just literally grovel.
You laugh at peddly jokes, aren't you?
Yeah, but he's not my boss. But that's just make him feel good. But people who just literally laugh just because the boss has said it, they laugh their head off and carry on laughing.
But is it like a real guffaw?
Yeah,
laugh?
A real put on kind of like a stage laugh. Whereas then you say something, they just look at you with a straight face.
Yeah.
Even though it's funnier. So literally ass lickers, brown noses.
In their opinion,
that awkward. Yeah.
Just people who.
That was much funnier than what he said.
You got a laugh saying that. But no, people, brown nosers, people. You can get on in life without having to lick someone's ass.
Okay. So, ass lickers.
Okay. Brown noses.
Excellent.
Creeps.
So we're coming up to the Champions League now, and after the group stage, you enter into the tournament phase, okay?
The knockout stage.
And it also happens in some English football as well, and it's two-legged football matches. The first leg, in particular... absolutely pointless. I know that obviously it gives revenue to both sides, your home club and the away club both get chance, but particularly in the Champions League, the first leg games are rubbish.
Yeah, but surely it entitles the team at home to get a few goals on the board before they have to go away.
I know, but it just gets so defensive, and at the end of the day, nothing's decided in a first leg.
You'd be starting the second leg, can't you? Say your team wins their home leg 1-0, and they can go away and be defensive, can't they?
No. I don't like it. I don't want first legs anymore. If we can make that happen.
Just a knockout.
I just want a draw.
One-legged football.
Play football one-legged. Yeah. A draw like the FA Cup, home or away. Unlucky, you're away.
What do you think of what do you think of FA Cup replays then?
Pointless.
Sure.
Finish them off on the first.
So.
Yeah.
Say City at home drew. Yeah. Man United.
Yeah. Well, that might be different.
Yeah, and we drew one all.
Yeah.
You wouldn't fancy a day at Old Trafford. You'd want to go shoot the tunnels, would you?
No, in that instance, no.
That is
but
the instance.
Hang on, that isn't. It's not a legged thing. So they're trying to win the game first.
Yeah, but I said replays. That's a separate question.
Yeah, but
replays in general.
One replay you can
unless
have
it's happen. Bristol City versus Manchester United.
No, I say one replay and then you have penalties. I didn't because I'm trying to
because like years ago it was funny, right? Hundreds of replays.
There you go. Yeah, you have hundreds. You get teams saying, "Oh, we've got to play too many games."
Mm.
That's a sign of success. Sorry, if you're playing too many games, that means you're going far in a cup. Mm. Don't like it. Fucking lose in the
sorry, bets right.
Lose in the first round, isn't it?
Yeah.
If your Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool is going to moan, got too many games. Don't have a cup run.
Yeah, and then they put out a weakened team and get fined. Yeah.
So don't us lower league division teams would have to go away to a big team for a replay.
Okay, but first legs, get them scrapped. Andy, what have you got for us?
Yeah, put me on the spot here now.
Anything that you find particularly annoying?
Plenty of things I find particularly annoying.
What have you got for us?
We're building developers.
podcast, cricket, yeah, all those sorts of things.
Raising money.
Love a bit. I've got, you know, on a Netflix.
Yeah.
If you binge watch.
Yeah.
So you found a series. You
Netflix
think
and chill.
Yeah. So you found a series you think you're going to like it.
Yeah.
So you start watching it. I hate the advertising, the sponsors at the beginning of each episode.
Okay.
Could be the best thing in the world. Could be the absolute dogs, and you love it. Give it 8 episodes, you will hate it. You will hate the jingle, you'll hate the product, and you fast forward through it every single time.
Okay.
It really does get my goat. And what's worse is when the missus is downloading 25 episodes of Orange is the New Black or whatever it might be, and you've got to sit through and listen to it every single time.
Particularly Orange is the New Black. I've watched it and I started to enjoy the theme tune, and then after like 8 episodes, it just
seems out of tune.
Is that worth it? Because obviously I know it's for revenue, but even try and watch just a video on Yahoo, it comes with a 30-second car advert. I know on YouTube it is skip the advert in 5 seconds. Surely everyone skips the advert, don't they? No one watches the whole advert. When you've got a chance to skip it, you skip it, don't you?
So Adam Thurston of Groundhopping fame, he's got a YouTube channel and he's starting to get revenue because he's got quite a lot of subscribers. He gets, if they skip the ad, he only gets like a small tiny bit, but if people watch the whole advert, he gets more revenue. So, but yeah, you're right. Unless it's something you think, oh, I'm interested.
That's what I'm for Adam. He's a little independent. Like when advertising like Coronation Street.
Yeah, no, it's like ITV Player and all that. But Netflix, obviously, you're paying $6.99 for that. You shouldn't see that on there. And even if you're watching a series, surely the software should be clever enough to take out the entrance minute.
You try fast forwarding it, stopping it first.
Yeah, exactly.
You've always got to go back again.
Yeah, they should have it so that it literally just runs on to the next episode.
My biggest grievance of Netflix is they should have an option where you can look at every single film A to Z to Z.
Ooh, I like it. Rich is getting American.
Yeah, that's for your cousins. A to Z. Because you obviously got it in genres, but they don't show every film, do they? I want to see what is on Netflix A to Z.
Yeah. It should be an option.
Yeah.
Paying enough.
Like I said, you've got dramas, we didn't cover all the films in that genre.
Also, what's on the subject of Netflix, I would like a download facility rather than you have to watch it streaming. So when you go on a flight or something, you can download 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Like you can on iPlayer.
You wait, they'll charge you more money for that.
Yeah.
There'll be more advertising.
I'd happily pay an extra 49 pence.
there's definitely films as well that have been removed.
Films?
That have been removed.
Yeah, they've probably got like a contract for X amount of years or something, or months.
Stopping the price up, don't
it? Yeah. Okay, so we've got a few options there, and I'm going to vote. So we've got Andy's, which is adverts before videos on the internet. Rich's, which was ass lickers in general. Mine, which was first legs in football, so very specific. Andy, do you want to vote first? You can't vote for yourself.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, one all. All better for ourselves.
I think I'm going to have to go on Rich's side here. Sorry, mate.
I'm also going to vote for Rich.
Well, I'm going to vote for Andy, because I hate the adverts. When you're watching like on all four in between or something like that, you've got
particularly annoying.
Even when it's the advert halfway through the programme, you've got to watch another set of adverts.
He doesn't like that revenue, but he likes the revenue from football. So.
Yeah. Okay, so congratulations, Rich.
Thank you. Bractile peddler, I won.
So all of those ass stickers are actually going to be put into Room of Doom, so you should be fine tomorrow.
Stop ass licking.
Okay, so that's Room of Doom. It's going to be... I'm just going to throw a quick question in before we hand over to Rich's rant.
I'll do the quiz first, though.
You do the quiz first, yeah. I wonder what you guys thought of iOS 10. We're all Apple iPhone users.
I do like it. The only thing that annoys me at the minute is I can find shuffle on the music. You can hit shuffle all at the start.
Yeah.
But when you have it for a song as well, sometimes you don't shuffle and there's no option to shuffle when you're already listening to the song. I don't know if you understand that, but
okay.
When you bring up the music list, it says shuffle all.
Yeah.
But my car has a habit of when I play it for the cable,
right,
it doesn't shuffle.
Okay.
So it
starts at the same place.
It starts if I just press one song to listen to that song at the start, it literally follow the list through.
Okay.
And you're supposed to double click it and you just have a little emblem at the bottom.
Okay.
That said, right. Shuffle there.
Anything else?
No, I love it. iMessage is brilliant.
So the iMessage is great. You can do like screen special animations.
You can buy stickers or
that sort of thing.
Andy's yet to download it.
Andy has just showed us his phone and he's yet to download. So
you can download stickers from the App Store. You can actually place the sticker on a message.
Yeah, my advice would be definitely download.
So I am taking this review. So
okay, app switching was the thing I was most impressed with, because it got to a point where if I tried to switch between apps and load up an app, it was taking so long, and I was like, you know, ahead of the iPhone. And I'd sometimes try and press on something, and then something would change, and it was getting really sluggish. So this iOS 10 seems to have rectified that, and you can load apps really quickly, switch between them very quickly. And the iMessage, as Richard said, is great. They've redesigned a lot of the Apple apps as well, and given them nice big fonts and different designs and things like that.
It's like a new phone, isn't it?
It is like having a new phone, because I often find that I haven't actually pre-ordered the iPhone 7. You have, Rich.
I have, yes.
So we'll have a review on that in the next few weeks.
We haven't done it yet.
When it arrives.
Well, I'm skipping this one. I'm going to wait for the 8. Yeah. Going to go against the grain. So it was always that you get the next iOS, download it, and then you get the next phone. It's like you're getting a bit of a new phone by downloading the new iOS software.
Yeah,
obviously, I can understand people waiting for a bit so that they iron out all of the issues, but I can honestly say I haven't had any issues.
I've had no issues so far.
That's exactly my reason. Usually,
on software updates, I do on the first day anyway. I've never held back. I'm dangerous.
He's an early adopter. So, Andy, suggesting you go home tonight, get that done.
It'll be done.
Okay, right, so Rich has prepared a bit of a quiz for us.
It's a cricket quiz.
Oh, good. Don't stand a chance.
But it's the rules of cricket. It's not like who holds the record for a one-day run, you know what I mean?
Okay. So to avoid Andy saying Andy and getting every question, you're going to do like handover or... How many questions have you got?
10.
Okay, so should we do Andy as well, and then I have one, and if I don't get it, he gets it?
If you want.
Can we do that? Okay.
The first one is... How many ways can a batsman be out?
Is this Andy's question?
I'm looking at Andy.
Okay.
You can name them as you go if you want.
Caught.
Bear in mind, this might get thrown over to me.
LBW. Run out. Hit wicket. Hit the ball with your hand when it's not attached to the bat.
Ooh.
That's 6.
That one.
Timed out is 7. Well, you don't get your pads on quick enough, and you don't get out to the. You've got 2 minutes to get out to the centre of the ground. Yeah.
Blimey!
It's
a bit of a lesson there, you know, guys.
That's all I can think of. 7. I'm sure there's more.
I just say a number.
Yeah, just a number.
10.
Correct. There is 10 ways, but unfortunately, I'm listing them down, so I was in a bit of a rush.
Okay.
Right. This is Patch's question.
Complete guess.
Patch, what would happen if a player fielded the ball with his cap?
Fielded the ball with his cap?
Yeah, if the ball was rolling along, or he held the cap up.
So he put his cap down to scoop it up?
Yeah.
Blimey. Obviously something happens.
That's the question.
That's not the answer.
Something. Yeah, that's correct.
Gets a yellow card.
Any advance on that, Andy?
5 runs to the opposition.
Yeah. The batsman would get 5 runs.
That's outrageous.
Yes.
Could do it. Question 3 to Andy. How can the captain of a fielding side get a new ball for his bowlers?
If the if the current ball they're using gets damaged or lost, or if he gets to a certain amount of overs, but I think that's only in a test match when they change over to having new balls, so to speak.
Happy with that?
Yeah, he has to wait 80 overs before new balls are given.
New balls, please.
Obviously, test match.
Test match. Patrick.
Yes, Richard.
The umpire waves both arms across each other in front of his stomach. What does that mean?
Doesn't want any tea. That was my comedy answer. Waves two hands over his stomach. Jesus.
Well, not necessarily like just that height.
Can you show me the motion?
I don't know.
Bad light stop play?
No.
Dead ball?
Dead ball situation.
What does that mean? What's a dead ball?
Ball's dead.
What is a dead ball?
Like a no ball.
No ball, something different. But dead ball could be a number of things, really. But if the ball is running up to ball, to bowl even, and the bails come off,
okay,
then he'll call dead ball because theoretically the batsman can't be out if the bails
happy with that.
Right. All really interesting.
This is quite spooky how this question's popped up. A batsman is given out before he stepped onto the field. Why?
Is it his answer or mine?
I said
yours.
It's
yours. A batsman is given out before he's stepped a foot onto the field. Why?
Timed out?
Yeah. He spent over 2 minutes getting from the change room to pitch.
I was going to say, he wouldn't have signed on.
Patch, the batsman...
Yes, Rich.
...hits the ball... and it lands in the umpire's pocket.
Oh my God.
What happens?
Has this ever happened?
I don't know, but it was in the questions. And it has been mentioned.
I'd say it's still active.
I've never heard of it, so...
It's a dead ball situation.
Sort of a link.
Andy? A bowler accidentally throws the ball backwards whilst bowling. What happens?
It's a dead ball again.
Dead ball situation.
Dead right, ball, isn't it?
Next answer, Patch. Dead ball, I reckon.
I'm going to go for dead ball.
The ball strikes a close fielder on his helmet.
Which one?
Before being caught, what happens?
I'm going to go for dead ball.
He's still out?
The batsman is out. Two more questions to go for Andy. The umpire draws a large square shape in the air with both hands. Why?
Drone above.
Is that cool for the third umpire?
Yeah, a TV video review.
Video review.
And last but not least,
I got
Patch,
one right.
The umpire offers light to the batting side. What does this mean?
Offers a light.
Offers light to the batting side. What does it mean?
Offers light. What sort of light?
Offers light.
So they can say that if it's too dark to play, for example.
Yes.
Ask them
whether they want to go on batting in the bad light.
But even if it's pitch black, could they still say they want to carry on batting?
Doubt it.
Okay. All right, thanks for that, Rich. I think that was a landslide 8-2 victory for Andy.
But I've got a little miscellaneous question that popped up when I was trying to do the quiz.
Trying to stump him.
This is about cricket. Listen to it carefully, all right? Two fathers took their sons fishing. They all caught exactly one fish. When they came back, they had three fish. None of the fish were stolen, eaten, or thrown overboard. How come they only had three fish?
You have to say it again.
Two fathers took their sons fishing. They all caught exactly one fish. When they came back, they only had three fish. None of the fish were stolen, eaten, or thrown overboard. How come they only had three fish?
So it was one like a grandfather?
Oh,
or
something? Yeah.
Thank you very much.
A grandfather took his son, and he took his son.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks very much, Rich. Thanks for that riddle. So I think we'll lead on now. Have you got a rant for us this week?
Yeah, not really. Not majorly rant. It just happened.
Ass-lickers.
It happened today. Is non-news news? So non-news stories.
What, like Brangelina?
Yes, Brad and Angelina.
That was breaking news on BBC
Headline
One.
Headline news on Sky News.
No, BBC One. So like, I don't know what. Something in the Attic, Hash in the Attic was on, and it came up breaking news.
Did it? Really?
Yeah.
Live on TV?
Yeah.
So you got that, you got Taylor Swift and Tom Hiddleston, early on, early off, Cheryl Cole's hair colour changing, so-and-so from Big Brother fighting with so-and-so's ex, etc. Is the non-news, is things that are making news for no
mental.
Reason.
It is mental.
People don't even know are in the news for something we don't even care about.
Yeah.
And that's the culture we're in nowadays, thanks to you lot who watch X Factor and Big Brothers.
I knew it'd be my fault.
Well, yes, you want
absolutely.
You keep, and the fact Big Brothers
putting money in their pockets.
It's gonna be on TV till 2018.
Constantly.
Yeah. Excellent. Good. Constantly, probably.
Is it? Probably. Yeah. Well, it feels like it.
They could do it constantly, couldn't they?
No.
Thanks very much, Rich.
All right.
Yeah.
No news, news.
There she is. She's listening.
Well, she just read about Brad, didn't she? Oh, he's back on the market.
She's just heard. And they got like 10 kids or something stupid, haven't they?
Yeah, well, all borrowed.
There we go. I just wanted to quickly throw out a question to you. And technically, or scientifically, are yawns contagious?
I think they are, because a few days ago, I was driving on the road, and a bloke coming the opposite direction was yawning, and within, I'd say, 10 seconds, I was yawning.
So it's visually contagious?
I reckon, yeah. Okay. Well, I think you need to see it. I don't think if a bloke around the corner is yawning, you ain't gonna,
yeah. I was like, you haven't got to be like, you know, sat next to them or anything like that. It's a visual
thing. I think it's a visual thing, yeah.
Okay, Andy, any views on that?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I don't know why, I just think...
It's funny how you thought that literally 3 days after I was driving home from work.
I don't know why I thought
it. And I saw it.
If you're weak-minded and you're subjective enough to that sort of thing... No.
You're a sheep. You're an ass licker.
I don't know why it is, but it definitely seems to be.
What was it? Is my boss who was yawning? I just thought...
But anyone who's listening who's got a scientific explanation for that, but...
Why do we yawn?
It's a good question. Why do we yawn?
Because we're tired.
I think it's just, is it when you get tired, it increases the oxygen in the blood, I guess.
Exactly that, yeah.
So you're breathing out, aren't you?
It's like a natural reaction. No, you take a deep breath, don't you?
Big in with breath. Your body's way of telling you you're tired.
It is.
I just imagine there's quite a lot of people yawning now.
Yeah. Time to get to bed. But we're almost done. So stick with us for another minute. I just wanted to say that Duncan Kelman, who is the creator of the Three Peeps of Podcast jingle, to much acclaim, and the Room of Doom jingle as well.
Is he up for Ivor Novello?
He's up for a Bee Harvester of the Year award.
What does that mean?
Well, he's got bees in his garden.
Oh.
And he's had a good harvest.
He's an award.
I meant like the pub.
He's not up for an award. But he has... So he started being a beekeeper, actually. Couple of years ago, and this year was his first harvest of honey, and he's sending us some samples.
I love honey.
So we're going to get 3 little pots in the post for a couple of weeks' time, and we're going to review the honey.
Nice.
So I thought you might be pleased with that.
Oh, do you like honey?
Yeah, I do you have your honey on?
Well, we have some beehives, and the woman, she's now left the company, but somebody else has taken it on, but I used to buy a pot of her for like once a month and put it on my porridge in the mornings.
Okay. Like, Andy, fan of honey?
Yeah.
Or do you have it on porridge?
Yeah. Porridge, toast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything to get my hands on.
Naked women.
Up to a minute.
Or her.
Present company accepted.
1.5 weeks.
That's pretty much all I've got. Have you got any recommendations for us, Rich? I haven't asked Andy to provide any.
I recommend watching Fan TV on 6th of October 2016.
What is that?
I think me and you are on it, aren't we?
Are we?
I think we're live on TV.
Okay. So yeah, don't forget that. We'll put a link up on the Facebook page, obviously. And yeah, so no TV recommendations?
Nothing's good. Ever since, I don't mind people filling in and recommending something to me, because ever since people just do nothing, it's come to an end. There's nothing on TV Modern Family is due
Friday
back on.
Night Dinner has just come to an end as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think Modern Family is due back on next week, I think. Sky One, look out for that.
Yep.
Multi-Emmy winning
series
comedy.
10, probably.
7, I think.
Okay. All right.
Likes of Ariel Winter's in it, and... can't remember her name.
It is a good cast, Modern Family. You put me onto that many years ago. And, yeah, very good, very
the
funny.
Family can tune in, it's not nothing controversial.
No, not like this podcast. Okay, well, that remains for me to say thanks very much to Andy for coming in, and hopefully get a bit of recognition, and people listen to this and start to buy your lottery tickets and come to your events, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, lads. And anything that comes out of this is a good thing for us, really.
Perfect.
Sure, man.
Just say goodnight, Rich. Actually, before we go,
we're off to the cinema, aren't we?
Yeah, Rich and I are treating ourselves to watch the Blair Witch Project now.
Blair Witch.
Blair Witch project. So looking forward to that. We'll no doubt we're giving a review of that next time around. The next podcast is...
I'm looking to see what the story's about.
The next podcast is to be recorded on Monday night.
Because he hasn't been Prime Minister for a good few years now, has he?
What, Tony Blair? Next project. The next podcast is Monday night. Rich and I are attending Steak of the Art, little-known steak restaurant in Bristol that we frequent, wife frequent, very, very often.
Daily.
today.
Yeah, there's actually a gourmet steak night, which Rich and I are going to attend and
review. Didn't they say
review.
Not, probably don't eat for 2 days prior to it?
Yeah.
Is that much
food? There's 4 courses of steak.
Oh, shizzle.
Differently aged, differently cooked steak. So it's going to be an education. It's called Meat, as in M-E-A-T, and Greet Steak Night. So looking forward to that.
Look forward to that.
Excellent. All right. Thanks very much, everyone, and good night.
Good night.
No, no.
What?
Good night.
Good night.
Now you'd like to get the last word in.
Hate it. Sick of it.